Spirituality, it's a big word nowadays, isn't it? And what does that mean exactly? When we think about our own spirituality, is it our spirit that we're talking about? Is it connecting with a bigger spirit? I think there are a lot of meanings behind this, and everybody needs to sort this out for themselves. But I think that the writers of the Bible and whoever wrote these very first words, where they were trying to seek God in a way that they saw that God really was. First this, God created the heavens and the earth. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. I love this passage from any translation of the Bible. The spirit hovered over the deep. This thought of God's spirit hovering and loving whatever is in the universe, and this creation of heaven and earth, and then it just expands and expands, but the spirit is always part of this expansion. It's everywhere. The spirit was everywhere in the Old Testament. So the first time we see the Spirit isn't on Pentecost, although the experience that all of these people had of receiving the Spirit together as one was an amazing experience. It's said that they were able to speak in all different languages so that everyone around them who wasn't part of this receiving of the Spirit could understand what they had to say. And if you think metaphorically, if God is love, and they were speaking the language of love, then why wouldn't everyone be able to understand what they were saying? If we're speaking God and this just exuding of love, that's the Spirit to me. This Pentecost Sunday has always been an interesting one. I think when I was a kid, I thought, well, the Holy Spirit didn't have anything to do with people until Pentecost. But really, we see it in the first verses of the Bible. We see this connection of who God is, no gender to God, but this God relationship. And we have so much trouble understanding God and who God is in our lives that, you know, we have a picture of someone or, maybe an old man in a white robe sitting on the clouds or something. But for me, it's just all wrapped up in this spiritual knowledge that God is part of us. So what is the Spirit of truth? How do we know what we're, what we're getting from the Spirit and whether or not it's true? One of my old professors from seminary posted this on Facebook this week, and I thought it was interesting. So he poses the question, why doesn't Romans 10:9 saying, if you believe with your mind, so why doesn't it say that? It's interesting that the famous passage, Romans 10:19, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, doesn't say with your mind. Instead, certainly Paul could have said mind there, and he gives the Greek word for mind instead of heart. But he didn't. In fact, one takes hold of Christ with the fingers of the heart, not the mind. The mind alone is not enough. It can actually affirm things it cannot existentially embrace. I have certainly experienced this myself, this is my professor, many times. Charles Finney actually believed with his mind before he believed with his heart, and in doing so, thought he actually believed in a big biblical sense. But really, by his own testimony in light of further experience, he hadn't. The mind, of course, comes in after. It serves to guard the heart from seduction and deception, and it attempts to give the heart words to explicate its embrace of Christ. We see this when Jesus urges that we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But again, the heart leads. So how can we be careful that our heart doesn't feel something that isn't true? You know, how do we find that embrace that says we aren't making this up in our mind? So any of you who have watched Harry Potter, the Harry Potter movies, or read the books, in the end, and I don't want to be, I don't want to give anything away if you guys are just reading the books, but in the end, he has this death experience. And Dumbledore, the professor, comes to him and they have a conversation. And as Dumbledore is leaving, he says, "Is this real or is it all just in my mind?" And Dumbledore responds to him and says, "Of course it's in your mind, but that doesn't mean that it isn't real." So how do we guard against unrealness but embrace the spirit? I think that's the fear nowadays of having some sort of spirituality. If I give my spirit to being spiritual, then have I given up something of myself? There's a fear that we're going to be coerced into something or manipulated in some way. So how do we give in to this experience that the disciples had on that Pentecost day of allowing the Spirit to envelop them and be able to speak with the words of love? How do we do that? It's a difficult thing for many people because we have so much now that teaches us about science and nature and how can we believe in miracles. And it's just a very hard question, and it's hard for each one of us to find it for ourselves. How do we know God? There have been, I don't know how many books written on how to know God. Deepak Chopra has a great one. I don't believe everything that he says, but it's a really nice way of connecting with God. And so how do we get there? We watched a really great movie last week on movie night, The Life of Pi. And Pi is this really interesting guy who embraces several religions. He starts out a Hindu. His mother is Hindu. And she taught him a whole slew of information about who God is. Well, later on, there was a little Christian church that he visited, and the priest there taught him all about Christ, and he became a Christian, a Hindu Christian. He was still embracing his Hinduism. Then later on, he was so intrigued by the prayer life of the Muslims that he also delved into the Muslim faith and became a very prayerful person. But even while he became a Muslim, he decided he wanted to be baptized as a Christian. I believe that the truth is in all of these things, and we have to sort out for ourselves where that truth lies. But isn't religion all about us connecting with God, something bigger than ourselves, knowing that our spirit isn't alone? So whatever the faith practice is that you come to, it's your practice, it's your relationship with God, however you can come to that. Meditation, Buddhism is something for many people. They can't embrace a single God who we will know in this afterlife. They would rather think of us as a community of little drops of water that end up in this sea of all of us, where we lose ourselves in this sea. I tend to feel like our individual nature is so important, that we were created to be each one of us in a really special way, that I have a hard time believing that who we are is going to go away. But maybe that's my individual inability to see what that wholeness will be when we finally do reach the end. I think that people's stories are so important. It's so good for us to know what other people experience in their lives. It's the cloud of witnesses. It's all of us who come together and talk about our faith and our experiences that help us to know God better. But that spirit, I think that we all recognize it eventually, that the spirit inside of us is not just our own, but God. The Bible says that God's law, God's love will be written on our hearts, and that it is written on our hearts that God knew us before we were born. I feel those things, and I believe those things because it works for me. There's a sense of this spiritual knowing. I want to read a passage to you from Romans. There's a whole section, Romans 8, where Paul talks about the Spirit. But I think this, for me, is such a pivotal piece. I think it begins at verse 27. The moment we get tired of waiting, when we've been yearning for something, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. The Spirit does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. God's Spirit knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. So the Spirit is waiting for you to invite it. Invite it into your life every day. Be a co-creator with the Spirit for your lives. The Spirit is in and through all of us. The language of love that we spoke yesterday in the funeral service for Jerry was the most beautiful thing. It's that Spirit of love, hands and feet, the work of God, that we do to love each other all the time. Whether we look at it as being God or not, the truth is that that Spirit of love is there. And if the love of God, if God is love, then that's God. So thank you all for being the face, the voice, the hands and feet of the Spirit of God. Amen.